And we have two people in the Bible that God had made promises to, but they couldn't wait on him. They got impatient and they had to manipulate the situation or help God out. Now, instead of waiting, Abraham and Sarah had to help God out. That God promised that he was going to give them a child. Abraham, who was 100, and Sarah, who was 90 years old, who were both past the concept of childbearing, but yet and still God promised that he was going to give them a child.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Big Payoff, Waiting on God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Big Payoff, Waiting on God.
That's what you need to do. You don't keep beating them up with the gospel. Don't keep beating them down with the gospel. If you shared the gospel, if you made it plain to them, then at that point you can pray for them, love them, and serve them, and then wait on the Lord. We got people sitting here today that are a result of somebody who prayed for them and waited. Amen. I see hands going up. That prayed for them and waited. Somebody looking for employment today, you need to wait on the Lord. You need to put in applications. You need to go do what you need to do, but you need to wait on the Lord. Somebody seeking to relocate. And I put this one in here because this is a pet peeve of mine. And the reason that it's a pet peeve, because a lot of people make decisions to relocate, and I'll talk to them, and this happened over and over again, so this is why I'm putting this one in here. It happens over and over again. I'll ask them, have you prayed about it? Well, you know, not like I should. And you're getting ready to make a big decision based on the fact that you haven't committed this thing to the Lord, you haven't saturated this with prayer, you haven't consecrated yourself in his word, and now you're getting ready to make a big decision. You know, you need to wait. You need to seek the Lord and wait and hear what he's telling you to do. People who need to wait on God. I don't know what your situation is today, but like I said, go ahead and put your name in there because you might be in there also as a person needing to wait. What is the key to waiting? What is the key to waiting? Turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. And we see in Hebrews 10:36 that there were a group of people who were suffering and being persecuted. And the writer of Hebrews tells them in chapter 10 and verse 36, he says, "For you have need of patience after you have done the will of God." Watch this. "You might receive the promise." That once you have patience in the midst of your situation and have done the will of God, then you will see the big payoff. The big payoff. Then you will receive the promise. Now, the key to waiting is patience. The writer of Hebrews told the readers who were going through some difficulties, "You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." The word patience, very interesting word, is from the Greek word hupomene. The word huper, which means under, and mone, which means to abide. So what does this word patience mean? It means to abide underneath something. That whatever it is that you're waiting on might be a weight on your back. It might be weighing you down. Maybe you're looking for a mate and it's wearing you down. You need what? Patience. You need hupomenes. You need this ability to be able to continue to stand strong underneath whatever it is, the weight that's on your back. You need to be able to stand strong. I'm going to take you back for a second. Back, many of us will remember this song. Some of you won't, younger people won't. Forgive me for not having an example from a song. But there was a song, and the name of the song was Jimmy Mack. All right? And there was a girl, she said, "Jimmy, Jimmy, oh, Jimmy Mack, when are you coming back?" She said, "My arms are missing you, and my lips feel the same way too." Listen to this. Listen to this. "It's so hard trying to be true like I promised to do, but this boy keeps coming around, and he's trying to wear my resistance down." Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy Mack, when are you coming back? Hey, hey, hey! Jimmy! I'm getting worn down! You better show up pretty soon. I don't have any hoop of an ace. I don't have this ability to stand up underneath the load. He's wearing me down. Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, said, you need some hoop of an ace. What is the key to waiting? The key is patience. That you have to have patience. If you don't have patience, you're going to struggle with this whole thing about waiting on God. And so we look at, how do you wait on God? How do you wait on God? That when you're waiting, here's the attitude that you should have. First of all, in Psalm 69, verses 1 through 3, you ought to wait prayerfully. You ought to be in the presence of God, crying out to Him as you wait. In Psalm 69, verse 1, it says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." Now, what is he doing? He's crying out to God. He's crying out. He said, "I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dry." But look at this. "My eyes fail while I wait for my God." That in the midst of whatever the psalmist was going through, that he was struggling, he was weeping, he was crying, his eyes failed, but yet and still, in the midst of all that, he cried out as he waited for the Lord. What are you dealing with today? Man, you ought to be before the altar in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. You ought to be crying out to God. What does it mean to wait on God? It means to wait on Him prayerfully, that you cry out unto Him. The second thing that we see is that we need to wait confidently. And this is where the problem comes in, is that we give up and we don't have confidence that God is going to do what He said He was going to do. Simeon realized that God had promised something, and he fulfilled his promise. In Psalm 104, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but it talks about how the animals look to God and how that they cry out to Him. And then it says in verse 27 that these all, what? Wait upon Thee, that Thou mayest give them their food in due season. A couple mornings ago, I got up. And one of the first things I always do when I get up is look out my bedroom window. And when I looked out, I saw a family of deer in the snow, in the freezing cold. And I called my wife, and she came and looked. And as I began to think about these deer with snow all over the ground, and what were they looking for? They were looking for something to eat. They were looking for some food. And yet and still, God in his wisdom hath embedded, even in the snow, food for the deer. These all wait on thee. Look, consider the birds of the air. They don't toil, they don't spin. Yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Oh, ye of little faith. Confidently, the animal kingdom is embedded in their nature to wait on God and to realize that God has put something here for me. These all wait on thee. Do you have the confidence of an animal? Are you waiting on God like the animals wait on him for their daily needs? You need to wait patiently. Patiently. Psalm 40 in verse 1. How do you wait on the Lord? You wait patiently. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. We already said that. One of the keys to waiting on God is to be patient. The psalmist said, I waited patiently on the Lord. He also said again in Psalm 37 in verse 7 that I waited patiently on the Lord. We need to wait expectantly. Look at Psalm 62 and verse 5. Psalm 62 and verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. I'm not waiting on this person, and I'm not waiting on that person, that my expectation is from God, and my soul waits on him. We need to wait expectantly. Oh, I like this one right here. Psalm 130 and verse 5. We need to wait meditating in the word of God. Amen. Amen. Look at Psalm 130 and verse 5. We need to wait meditating in the word of God. He says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Wow. Wow. See, again, I said last week, yo, I'm tired of preachers telling me what to do and not telling me how to do it. Right here, this tells you how to wait. How do you wait on God? You wait prayerfully. You wait confidentially. You wait patiently. You wait expectantly. You wait meditating in his word. And then you wait with a great desire in your heart. Look at the next verse. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Have you ever been through a difficult night? A night, you know, there's something about having a problem, right? But then there's something that's added to that when you have a problem when it's dark. And it seems like things somehow get a little bit better whenever the sun comes up. And so what he's saying here is that, you know, somebody that's just longing for the sunshine to come up, longing for the sun to pop up because of the heaviness of the darkness that's overtaken them, that when that sun comes up, that I'm looking for it, I'm anticipating it, I can't wait until the sun comes up. You know, I don't know about you, but I like June, July, and August when the sun comes up about 5:30 in the morning. I don't like the sun, man. Sun don't come up now until about 7:15. You know, I don't like that. No, that's just me. You might be different. I don't like that. So there's something about when the sun comes up. And the psalmist says that that's what my desire is. My desire is for the wait for God and the watch for God, that I'm looking for what God is doing. My desire is to see what God is doing. I'm looking just like I'm looking for the sun, like those who look for the sun to come up in the morning, that I'm looking for God. As we think about what happens while you're waiting, if you wait the right way, what happens while you're waiting? This is good. That if you're waiting the right way, there's something that's happening. You might not see it, you might not feel it, but if you're waiting the right way, something is happening. Isaiah 40 in verse 31. If you're waiting the right way, something is happening. It says here, verse that you all know, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That when you're waiting on God, what's happening? You know, it's interesting that in this passage, the idea of strength and waiting is like a cord that's being woven together. That if you take the strands and you leave them separately, then you can break them pretty easy. But when you begin to weave those cords together, what happens? They get stronger. God says that when you wait on Him, that there's a strength going on in your life that you don't know about. You know, it's a strength. You know how I just, sometimes certain people who drive bug me. Right? Like when it says the yield, and you yield and there's nobody coming, and then you stop. Man, that bothers me. Why don't you just keep going? It says yield, there's nobody coming. But see, as you wait on God and you drive up behind that situation and that person stops, bless the Lord. There's a strength that starts taking, you know, you don't get all frazzled and frustrated when you're being strengthened. And see, that's something that you might not notice. But you come to that place, or you stand in line. And, you know, one of the things that I hate is when I stand in line and I get to the place where I'm being rung up and the tape on the register breaks. Man, that aggravates me. All these people before me, why did it break on me? But when the Lord is strengthening you, right, then you, okay, well, you know, just another thing. I just got to stand here, you know. And you know, so just little aggravations and little frustrations like that, as you see yourself being strengthened as you wait, you know, those are things that you might not even notice about yourself. But these are things that are happening. Why? Because you're being strengthened. Waiting helps you to grow stronger. Spiritually, waiting helps you. We resist it. It's just like when we were growing up and our grandmothers or mothers used to give us castor oil. You didn't want that. You wanted, if you could, slap that spoon away. For the longest time, I hated hot tea. Because right after my grandmother gave me castor oil, she would make me drink hot tea. I didn't like hot tea for the longest time because I always associated it with castor oil. But you know, they had something going on there because they knew that if they got that castor oil up in you, that you didn't need a flu shot back. No, cod liver oil, castor oil, that's the stuff that they was feeding us, right? When you got all that stuff, man, you didn't go to the doctor and get a flu shot. And they knew that what? It was good for you. It was helping you out And God knows that waiting is good for us. If he just gave us everything that we wanted right now, man, we would be a mess, or a bigger mess than we already are. And so God realizes that in this process of waiting, that we grow stronger. There's an inward strength that we get. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength inwardly. There's a strength that we get upwardly. They shall what? Mount up with wings like eagles. So now you begin to rise. There's a strength that you get outwardly. They shall run and not be weary. And then as we think about it, there's a strength that you get onwardly, right? They shall keep walking and not faint. So as we wait, what's happening? We get an inward strength, we get an upward strength, we get an outward strength, and we get an onward strength. And we might not know it, but these things are happening as we are waiting. We don't see, because it's not like it's causing us to grow and we're getting muscles and getting stronger. No, it's just that growth that comes as you wait. And as we think about the payoff for waiting, what does Simeon say? He said, "My eyes have seen thy salvation." Waiting paid off. You will see the salvation of the Lord, whether it's through deliverance or provision. If you wait on him, you will see the salvation of the Lord. A young man came to his professor in college and said to him, "I want to hurry up and graduate so I can begin my career." The professor responded by saying this, if you go to the next slide. He said, "When God wants to grow a mighty oak tree, it takes 150 years. But when God wants to grow a squash, it takes 6 weeks." Do you want to be an oak tree, or do you want to be a squash? If you want to be a squash, then go ahead and do your own thing. And you can make something happen in 6 weeks. But if you let God work on you, it's going to take a while. But you're going to be like that mighty oak. Father, we come to you today. And Lord, we thank you for Simeon, who is a wonderful lesson to us on what it means to wait. And so, Lord, I ask today that if there's someone here that's struggling with this whole issue of waiting on you for whatever it might be, that today, Lord, that something that was said in the message would help them on this journey. Father, I pray that if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ and the pardon of their sin, if there's someone, Lord, today that's looking for a church home, a place to fellowship, and this is the place that you have led them, Lord, as we give the invitation today, that you would just touch their hearts, and Lord, that you would strengthen them and allow them to come and do business with you. And so, Father, we commit this invitation to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on A Kirk and Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Lord, Help Me to Not Have These Evil Thoughts. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Big Payoff, Waiting on God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Big Payoff, Waiting on God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Big Payoff, Waiting on God. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.